I always want you at my party.
Thanks, Bean. I think you're biased. Well, you and I alone at the party.
It's the best party.
Until Bean asks you why you don't speak to your father. And then womp, womp. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Krushka.
And today we're talking about forgiveness. Bean, are you ready?
Who are we?
I am.
Bean, I would like to say that prior to hopping on this ep, we were just talking about our levels of rage toward there. I will say we both don't normally feel this way, but we were both sharing our internal levels of continued rage towards certain individuals in our lives. And it was comical. And it was like, all right, now let's do our forgiveness episode, shall we?
We were raging out. And I just have to say, I found something out about my best friend, which is that she's considered sending.
Don't say it.
No, you're not doing it.
No, don't say it.
Why?
I might do it because I might.
No, you're not. I have to say it.
I don't want to be incriminated.
It's called a spring-loaded penis bomb.
This is so not like me.
This is someone she has rage towards. And
I can't believe you're putting this out there.
Let me just read. I have to read the description. When you click on the link for the spring-loaded penis bomb, it says, oh, the joy of having hundreds of tiny penises bombarding you and decorating your surroundings because regular confetti just doesn't cut it. Perhaps even include a you suck sticker on the end of the spring for maximum impact.
I was not really going to do it. And how dare you for calling me out? I mean, now I'm going to send a penis popper, dick popper to you.
You probably will.
And now I'm going to say you suck. I'm adding the you suck sticker for $1.50.
It's just funny that we're getting ready to talk about forgiveness and you're plotting penis bombs.
I can't believe I sent that to you in private and you just called me out. Also, how does one wear these tank tops?
That's good. Pull it down a little. Pull it down.
Down?
Yeah.
It feels like I'm so exposed.
That's good. We like it. For those of you that have not watched this show on YouTube, this would be
the
time.
Go check it out. Go check out awkwardly placed tank top. Bean. Let's stop talking about my pale arms hanging out of this tank top. And talk about if you have a cringe or a delight.
It's like the first time you thought about that idea. I have a delight. A Ooh. Delightful delight. Okay. My delight is related to whales.
Nothing says middle age like delight over whales.
Or weather. Okay? Touché to you.
That's just an East Coast thing.
Here's the delight. I was listening to a podcast, actually a very news-oriented podcast, The Daily from the New York Times.
All right.
And today's episode was about how scientists are discovering, maybe, they're researching, do whales have an alphabet they use to communicate?
No way. Do you know whales are the only mammals who were on land and then they were like, fuck this, and went back in the water?
Really? Whales?
Do you think there's something to that? Like they were like, this is not for us.
Not up here. Back down there.
These idiots.
Well, so they talked about sperm whales and how researchers have been since the 70s, like studying sperm whales. And in fact, in the 70s, they started to discover that humpback whales sing and they produced an album of humpback whales singing and it was like a best-selling record.
I love that.
Yeah. So let's go humpback whales with your top charting. Yeah,
get it. Get it, humpback.
Top
in the chart today, humpback whales.
So these sperm whales, they keep researching them. And basically they're like making these sounds that are like making different patterns of clicks. So it'll be like click, click, pause, click, or like whatever it is. And so they're charting them all out and they're noticing that like there's different patterns. So is it possible that the different patterns are putting letters together? Is there an alphabet they're using to communicate?
I'm going to say, stop your studies. The answer is yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't even waste your money.
If that's true, that's as like mind-blowing and life-changing as finding life on another planet.
I mean, I agree. The ocean is like another planet.
It's true. Have you ever seen those giant squid? They are aliens.
Oh, shit. Did you ever watch Blackfish? I mean, I really don't even want to go here right now. But the mama whales would sob and get so depressed when they
God,
take their
don't
babies.
Say. I don't like
I know. That. I'm just saying these whales are what's up.
What have we noticed about you? Bean is Debbie-est downer of all of them. And she'll take something that is so like it'll be like something light. We were actually laughing about this. We were here in in California when she came to visit. And we were having this like beautiful day on the beach. And we went and sat down and we were like laughing and so joyous. And maybe gummies were involved. And
you're just going to tell this story and you're going to act like it just came out of nowhere. There was somehow it came up.
We were having the best time and we were laughing. And then Dean kept bringing up these like depressing subjects of like, did you know when my grandfather died? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, and I kept being like, Bean, like, come on, let's keep it light. Let's keep it, you know, frothy. Let's have a good time.
Ooh, frothy.
And then she'd be like, oh, you're totally right. Hee hee. And then she'd bring up, oh my God, did you hear about the dog that got hit by a car? Oh, I'm like, God. Bean, you're doing it. So anyway, I reminded her of it three times and then we're like laughing, we're having a great time. And then she literally in all seriousness looks me dead in the eye and goes, Bean, what's it like that you don't talk to your dad anymore?
So you are painting me to be a huge asshole in this episode.
You are not an asshole.
And I don't forgive you. How about that transition? I don't forgive you.
Okay, well, listen, you're not an asshole.
I am not an asshole. And I've gotten way more positive as I've gotten older. Don't you think I really try to be better about it? So don't say it.
It's a habit. It's a habit. It's okay.
Don't say it.
Okay, all right. I love you. I accept you as you are. Tell me about your week. Cringe, delight. What do you got?
I don't know when this is going to air, but we've had the most amazing house guest staying with us. And I have to be honest, I typically don't really like people in my house for much more than like 2 days. I'm like, that was good. Time to go. Like, I enjoyed your company, but it's time for my own space. And Corey's cousin came in for the mitts from Israel. I'll never stop talking about the mitts.
We have been talking about the mitts for 5 months.
People are going to be like, get over it. It's time to get
truly,
over it.
Truly. I feel like we should get over it.
Okay, no, well, I'm not. But he came in from Israel. He was the only family member who was able to make it in from there. And he has been staying with us. And I have to tell you, you know him. You know Mikey. He's the freaking best. He has enlightened every single one of us in this house on the daily. Like, he has been here for weeks. And he'll do these like little day trips. Like, he's in New York right now. We're going to go meet him later. And his presence, the absence of his presence is felt so deeply among every single one of us. He's been like making these massive home cooked meals. He's inspired like my kids. He's inspired me and Corey. Like, Corey has been like the best version of himself for weeks because Mikey just has this je ne sais quoi about him.
Good one.
Right? He is. That it's like, it's magnetic and he pulls you in, right? And he just has had the best influence. I'm like, do I just force you to live in my home for eternity?
I think that's called captivity.
In captivity, yes. That sounds nice.
He is so wonderful.
He's
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He's got something to him. He's got a little special sparkle.
Yeah, one of my college roommates actually just texted, this was like weeks ago, and she was like, I meant to say, he's so wonderful. He has like a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, totally.
Literally what she wrote.
Does. Yeah, he does. No, he's incredible. I agree. Mean, I love that for you.
Yeah, he's really added like the most special element of love into this home. Not that it wasn't already present, but he's really like just so, his stories are amazing. His attitude is amazing.
He does dishes. He cooks.
Oh my God, he's so self-sufficient. Like, he's the only person.
Corey better watch his back.
I don't have to take care of. He's just lovely. He's been just such a lovely addition. And for me to be tolerant of someone being in my house for weeks on end is like, speaks volumes.
Mikey, don't leave us.
Don't leave.
Stay forever.
Stay forever.
I love that for you, Bean. I love that you have that.
Me too. Thanks.
Enjoy it. Well, that was nice. All right. Great. Well, I don't have anything to make fun of you for that for. So thanks for.
Good, because I still already don't forgive you.
I know. All right. Well, let's talk about, maybe you'll forgive me by the end of this episode.
I feel like our banter is getting more like unintelligent as the weeks go on. I don't even, by the end of our banter, I'm always like, what the hell is happening
here? What are we doing? What are we talking about again?
What is my purpose in life?
Go. Why did we want to talk about forgiveness, Bean? Tell us.
We were realizing as we discussed it that forgiveness and letting go and not holding on to things that no longer serve us is a very important part of this self-actualization journey, which is basically our whole goal here is to help everybody be the best version of themselves. And a big part of that is really, in our opinion, letting go. And I think Bean will have some excellent tips on how to do that.
Oh, no pressure.
No pressure. Why don't you start? How about you give us a real quick intro like we like to do? I don't think we're going to do a lot of history on this one.
No, there's no history of forgiveness.
Why don't we talk about what actual forgiveness looks like versus reconciliation, because you can move on from something without forgiving, which is something I actually struggle with sometimes myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to get your wise input today.
Okay. So forgiveness, just let's just start by defining it. It's really just this process of letting go of resentment, of anger, a desire for revenge towards someone who's wronged you. Like, it's just letting go of,
like, sending penis poppers, like
penis popper bombs. It's just letting go of that energy of resentment, of anger, of holding on to the moment in time that the person harmed or, you know, I think also continues to harm you. This is part of the problem with forgiveness, is like, sometimes it's not a past event. It's like, right, this person continues to create harm in your life. So
like, when your best friend calls you out for the penis popper and then tells you you're a Debbie Downer, like that kind of stuff, like back, right, to back to back hurt, yes, and pain. Yeah.
Yes. That kind of pain. So when that happens, we hold on to that and we carry it and carry it and carry it and carry it. And so the idea of forgiveness in, you know, a self-growth journey is that it's holding you back from achieving your maximum potential and impact and ability to experience this life every day in an open, present, joyous way, because, right, you're holding on to something that's robbing you of that joy and that presence. So that's forgiveness. Reconciliation then comes from that act of forgiveness, where you're able to come back together with someone who's created harm, hopefully at a higher level, with a new set of agreements, spoken or unspoken, about how you're going to coexist in a way that is beneficial to one another rather than harmful.
I think you can also reconcile without forgiveness, but it may not always work because the resentment then still lies underneath the surface.
I just don't see how it works. I think a lot of us do reconcile without forgiveness. Right. I think in marriage a lot, or intimate partnership, yeah, where it's like, I just gotta like get along. I always say go along to get along. I always get this
wrong. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I like it. It made sense when you just said it.
Yeah, but like that, it's like, I'm just going to suck it up, like you said. But that's more like sweeping shit under the rug that I think creates massive obstacles in your relationship down the road. So I would just say, I don't know that there's actual reconciliation without the act of forgiveness, which is letting go of the resentment and the anger.
You're so
nice. Bean, curious, yes, though, like, what do you feel like your relationship to forgiveness is in your life?
So I tend to, I don't like to hold on to anger. I don't like to feel anger. That's why this penis popper private conversation I had with you was so shocking, because I tend to not harp on things like that. I believe in moving forward. I believe people make mistakes. I believe very much in forgiveness. I think it's critical. I don't believe in vengeance and that kind of nonsense. I feel like since you've known me, that's kind of been consistent. Correct?
Absolutely.
But in the sake, I will say, Bean's been telling me to loosen up a little more and share more on this pod, because she thinks that sometimes I'm keeping things closer to the chest than I should be, since we're all being vulnerable here.
Yeah.
I will say I struggle with it tremendously in my marriage, that when it's been, you know, like a consistent behavior, I'm not, I always have to do this and say, I'm not like saying that my husband's this wretched human. I'm just saying, when you're in a relationship of this length and you're raising children together and you're in the same space constantly, a lot of things come up and a lot of issues come up. And I do struggle a lot with truly forgiving. It's a lot of sweeping under the rug. And I'm now in a place where I'm so cognizant of it, and it feels very uncomfortable to me that I will sit, you know, like, and he'll do something that is so minor, and if you look at it, you know, objectively, it seems like nothing, but I feel like I haven't forgiven him about past behaviors, that when he does this one tiny thing, I'm completely immediately like internally erupting.
Yeah.
And I do want, because I really believe that that's not healthy. I don't believe in holding on to resentment. I don't believe in holding on to anger. I think it eats away at your soul and eats away at who you are as a human. And I know it eats away at who I am. I think that's a big reason I release it a lot. For me to not forgive you, you have to have done something like very damaging. I just feel like in my marriage, it's just when it's repeated behaviors and things that we've verbalized and talked about, how do you, I'm going to jump right into asking for your advice. How do you forgive when...
I thought you were going to be curious about my relationship.
Oh, I would like to know your relationship too.
You're still angry with that? Me, so you're not curious about me.
Right, right, right. All right, fine. I'll just lay it out and then I'll ask you.
No, ask. Go, ask.
Okay, okay. I don't know how to do it. With everybody else in my life, it's very easy for me. It's like, okay, they probably weren't coming from a bad place. And truthfully, that's often the case with my husband also. But I'm unable physically to let it go in lots of ways. And I would love, I'm truly hoping that this episode provides that clarity for me.
Go. You know, we can't get to that clarity until we unpack why, I hate that word, unpack.
Why?
Until we, because it's so overused, but we're going to use it. Until we unpack,
let's unpack it.
The obstacles to forgiveness. Why is it so hard to forgive? Yeah. I think that, you know, in my worldview, there are a few of these obstacles that are pretty common to all of us. The first is that the action that's harming you is continuing.
Right. Like we talked about up top with your friend just repeatedly doing things to you.
Right. But I do think that some of the stuff in a marriage, for example, that you bring up, that you're working on forgiving is still present. And so it's hard to forgive when the action is currently happening. Like, how do you reconcile that in your head? I'm going to forgive you, but yet you're still not picking up the kids on Fridays when I ask you to, so I can go to yoga. Right. Like, how do you reconcile that? That's the first obstacle. Another obstacle to forgiveness, and hey, if you're listening and you want to use this show as a tool to your own self-development, what I'd love for you to do is like go through this inventory with us and just check in with yourself. Where do you find the most common obstacles to forgiveness for you? So beyond the repeated behavior, it's this notion that you have that forgiveness is somehow weakness, that you're not going to demonstrate strength if you forgive. And that can be implanted culturally. It can be implanted by a family system. It can be implanted by watching other people who you perceived as weak and not wanting to be anything like them, for example. But this idea that by forgiving we are weak, which is a complete limiting belief system, and we'll get into why, but that can be a huge obstacle to forgiveness, is that you don't want to be weak. The other is like there are some deep, deep wounds from the harming party that go unprocessed for a very long time.
Right.
And if they're unprocessed, then we haven't actually let them go, which makes forgiveness really, really hard. And I think we find this with in our healing journey. For those of you that are on this like deep healing journey, you'll recognize this. Bean and I talk about this and share this in common. As we're healing, there's things in our families and relationships in our families where we're like, uh-oh. Like that was repeated harm that you didn't mean to do, but you've done it, you've done it, you've done it, you've done it. And yes, it was in the past. And yes, it was 20 years ago, but it's literally shifted my paradigm for life in a way that's holding me back. Right. And when you recognize that that harmful behavior has contributed to you being less than your maximum potential right now, or existing in a state of suffering currently in your life, it's really hard to forgive that because it has a current impact. Right. That wound is so deep. So those are some of the things that I notice as really common. The other thing in our culture that's really happening more than anything right now is that we really feel a strong need, because we're so divided and separate, to be right.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And this need to be right is making us unforgiving of people who we think are wrong. Rather than, well, this is my worldview because these are my experiences and needs, and this is your worldview because these are your experiences and needs. And listen, there is wrong and right. I mean, there is like things that are just, for example, bodily autonomy in women.
I was like, just going to say, but how do you forgive? I was just going to use that as an example. No, like, I don't really forgive you for attempting to take that away from me.
Totally.
I don't forgive
you. I promise you, I'm not going to give you an answer on this episode because I'm in process myself. Right. But again, that's about creating consistent harm too. So I think that we, though, just a watch out, a call out is like, how much are you trying to be right versus how much are you just trying to be honest about how you feel and what you need? Those are two very different things. And sometimes we so need to be right that we can't forgive others who also need to be right. So they're mirroring back the same thing to us. So I don't know. Do you see yourself in any of those obstacles?
I think mostly, no, not a lot of them. That's why it's all very unusual to me. But I do see in that consistent level of hurt that hasn't been unpacked.
Right.
Primarily in my marriage. But I can see there, you know, there are elements in other people in my life as I am going through this journey myself where I'm like, oh, wait a second. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like my relationship to forgiveness is so similar to when we were talking about trust. I can dole forgiveness out so hot and heavy, like so quickly.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Is it genuine though then?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think I give it out pretty quickly because it's, I believe in it.
Yeah. I think I need for the people in my life to be in my mind forgivable or else I can't reconcile while they're in my life. So like I'll give it to them almost as a like, you need to be in this high frequency space or I don't even know how to be in relationship with you. And I have found in my first marriage that my relationship to forgiveness was what enabled so much bad behavior and so much harm done to me. Because I let it go so fast.
Yeah. I used to say that to you, I remember. Like, how do you just move on? And you were like, well, what am I supposed to do? And I was like, good point.
Right. Because it was harming me to hold on to it. But what I realized on the other end of it was when I just kept forgiving without expressing my needs or for there being any consequences to those needs being met, then the behavior just kept going on. And the person was like, well, what's the point of changing? Why should I change? There's no need.
So that's a little confusing for the tip that I'm asking, the question I'm asking, which is how do you allow yourself to forgive more easily, but you can't forgive too easily because then the lesson is not learned.
This is the core answer to that. I want us to define and reframe forgiveness not as a gift we're giving someone else, but a gift we're giving ourselves. I think we have to separate the idea of forgiveness being an allowance of trampling our boundaries or even an allowance of being in our lives. That's different than I forgive you. Like my soul, my energy is no longer holding on to the harm and the pain. I'm letting you go. I'm letting go of that and I'm letting you go. But that doesn't mean you get to be in my life and keep creating harm. Those are two very different things. So forgiveness is an internal act of love for yourself.
Yeah.
Like really looking at where is my system being polluted by where I'm holding on to this resentment? And can I let go of this resentment for myself without thinking that that then needs to translate into allowing more harm to take place from this person? That's not the same. It's just where can I let go of this and move on? And I've really had to go through this practice with my ex-husband of letting go of the harm and forgiving him for it. We do not have a relationship where he's allowed to be in my life intimately enough to create harm anymore, but he's forgiven for those things, which has allowed me to kind of have enough weightlessness to travel to the next level of my evolution and not be stuck in the past with him.
And I think to also have the type of relationship you have with TJ, your husband now.
Yeah.
If you were holding on to all of that anger, I think it would rear its ugly head in your current relationship as well.
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. Because we will project so much on people. And without letting go, without forgiving my ex, I would have absolutely put TJ in the same category, mistakenly, out of a place of defensiveness and trying to protect myself because I hadn't let go of old stuff. So anyway, that's the first thing is like, let's just really reframe forgiveness as a gift to yourself of an internal letting go process and separate it from the idea that you have to continue to allow harm or even allow the person to still be in your life if they're creating it. But there's some common things we can also talk about as you're thinking about forgiving people who you want to be in relationship with.
Yes. Let's do that. Please. Okay.
The first is really weighing the cost-benefit analysis of holding on to the thing. Yeah. Like, use your inner calculator.
Okay.
And really calculate, okay, so this person did this thing to me. What does holding on to it do to help me? How does it serve me to hold on to it? And there will be an answer. Usually the answer is, well, it's protecting me from allowing the person to do it again.
Right.
Is there another answer you could think of? How does it help you to hold on to the experience?
What did you just say your answer was? And I said,
it protects
right,
you
I heard
from
it, but
allowing.
It.
Yeah. It protects you from allowing it to happen to you again. That's what we think. It's like, that's if I hold on to it, I won't fool me once, fool me twice.
Right. Right. Now I know what's up. That's kind of it. But also, like, I feel like it's in some ways an uncontrollable, like, monster. Like, I'm telling you, I don't like it, but like, it just resides in me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's common. And I think, again, it resides in you because the behavior hasn't changed.
Okay. So,
that's hard. I mean, we can get to it, but right. I guess what I'm saying is, as a baby step, number one is, what is the benefit of holding on to this thing to me?
There is no benefit. We know
what is what is the cost?
My own happiness, I think. My own ability to take one situation and see it just as that situation. I mean, it's always like, but this has happened mm-hmm. 6 times before. I mean, everybody goes through this in their marriage. Even like mm-hmm. the best marriages are like, everyone is like, this keeps happening. I mean, there yep. are core issues in every marriage where people are like, this just consistently happens and nothing changes. I'm sure he feels that exact way about me.
Yep. Yeah. So,
but he's wrong.
The cost I'm hearing you say is like, it's robbing you of the present moment because it's pulling you back to the past and you're like
right.
adding up all of yeah. the evidence.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason that I say you do this calculation is because often the cost outweighs the benefit. And if right. you can help your mind understand that and your system understand, oh, actually, this holding on to this thing is costing me so much more. It's robbing me of the present moment. It's robbing me of my joy. It's weighing me down. I notice myself thinking about this, you know, for 20% of the day, which is not making it possible for me to think about other things or focus on myself. Like, really get clear on what is the cost, what is the benefit of doing it.
Another one for marriages in particular, I was just thinking, is that as my children are getting older, and this can apply to other people, I think they will become more aware of any negative energy I'm holding on to, and then that will somehow shape and frame their way of thinking because they're yeah. moldable little minds. And then that will then move on to their relationships in the future. So that's another cost.
Absolutely.
Putting on my tally list.
Yeah, that's great. But that's what I want. I want you guys to do a tally list, because then at least you're aware of right. what it's costing you to hold right. on to this thing and not let it go. The second thing is, again, are you confusing forgiveness with lacking boundaries in your life? Do you believe that if you forgive and let go, that means you don't have to or need to put up boundaries with this person? Because those are two very, very, very different things. So I will forgive you, but I will not allow you to continue to harm me.
Right.
Right? So when you're working with forgiveness, the idea becomes, I'm going to let it out of my system because the cost is too high. And I'm also going to be accountable for the structures I'm putting in place in my own life to ensure that the harm doesn't continue to happen to me. Whatever that is, speaking up more, taking space, being more self-advocating, being more clear about your needs, having some consequences to things. You know, if you're going to be disrespectful, you don't get my time, you don't get my energy. Like, what is the consequence to harming you? And putting those consequences in place for other people to protect yourself from continuous harm. But forgiveness is not about that. Forgiveness is just letting go of the bad energy, the bad weighing down moment. The boundary is really keeping you from allowing yourself to keep experiencing that harm. And I think that that goes to this, like, you know, that concept, like, I will forgive, but I'll never forget.
Right. Which I don't really feel like is forgiveness.
I think that's what it means to say, is like, listen, you're forgiven, but this information around the harm that's been created is going to go into my calculator and is going to help me understand how am I going to interact with you. Yeah, if I tell you a secret about a penis bomb and then you say it in the public, do I then next time tell you a secret like this?
No, the answer is no.
Right. But you will. But true. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't forget, I don't think it's like you're holding on to it. It's that, oh, I'm taking this as a data point, putting it into my calculation for how am I going to be with you? How do I? And then if trust has been lost, okay, I'm going to acknowledge that. And am I open to allowing you to regain trust from me by repairing the thing you did that caused me to lose trust in the first place?
What if the repair does not occur? How does one then move forward with the continued forgiveness?
Boundaries. Because remember, forgiveness is an internal process. So you're letting it go for yourself, but you're also putting boundaries in place so that you're not in a situation where the person can misuse your trust again. You're not telling the secret. You're not inviting them into your internal circle. You're not as vulnerable maybe with that person because they've lost the trust. Those are the boundaries. Those are the consequences, but you've let it go. You're not holding on to the anger and resentment either.
Can we use an example that relates back to marriage? Because I do think that – not only am I here to learn, but I really think that in a lot of people's lives –
I'm in a therapy session right now.
It will be like parents or spouse or romantic partner. You know what I mean? People who are the most involved in your life who also therefore are able to cause – whatever level of frustration they cause because they are so present in your life. You made the example of you didn't pick the kids up on Friday and it keeps happening. And I keep telling you and you still don't do it. So in that example, I'm just trying to make this a little more tangible. How do you forgive? You say, okay, you didn't pick up the kids. What's a boundary there?
What are the ways that you are making this person's life easier that you can also now back up from doing? Because they're not meeting you with the same level of love, respect, value, and say, okay, so you can't invest time in me going to my yoga class on Fridays. That means that on Wednesdays when I do XYZ, I'm going to use that time for me and not for you.
It sounds so harsh. I know. You're right.
But it's not. It's a boundary.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a need. I expressed it. You're my loving partner. We're supposed to be meeting each other's needs. You can't meet it. I'm going to go get it met. And I'm going to have to get it met at the cost of the way that I was showing up for you, because you're not showing up in the same way for me.
It's soul care. Shout out to our last episode. Soul care.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that there are some things we can practice in our art of forgiveness.
Yes.
So I keep saying it's an internal process. What are some things you can do to practice making this happen? The first is like, what is your level of understanding and context to the situation? Sometimes when we have so much anger towards someone, it's because we're not looking at the situation contextually. Right. What are the external pressures? What else is happening? What might have happened in their past? Why might they be acting this way? Which goes to the second thing, which is empathy, right?
Understanding and empathy. Yeah, empathy is really key. I think that's why I'm able to forgive so often, is because I do believe I'm pretty empathetic and I teach my kids to be and to understand, you know, they may have been really cruel to you, but you have no idea what their morning looked like. You know, you don't know how they entered this situation.
Great example. They were cruel to you. Let's not judge them or hate them. Let's let go of that resentment and let's not allow them in your inner circle to keep being cruel to you.
Correct.
That's an example of forgiveness with boundaries.
Sure. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So the empathy allows you to let it go because you're putting yourself in their shoes and saying, okay, when I'm having a bad day, I snap at people.
Yeah.
Or when I'm feeling under pressure, I don't necessarily show up in my higher self. So this person probably is in that kind of scenario and they're not showing up at their higher self. I can let it go because I have a deeper level of understanding for it than if you don't take the time to do that.
And to tie this back to marriage. I just had an epiphany. I'm never factoring in that he is also coming to the table with his inability to forgive, just as I'm coming to it. So he is approaching the situations just as I am, but I have such tunnel vision that I can't even think like, well, all these things I did brought him here. And then he's not respecting X, Y, and Z, but like, we're kind of in the same boat then in that way. So if I give a little compassion and patience.
Yes.
Yes. Just solved world peace.
We just solved it. You're welcome, Corey. You said the other word, the other kind of tip is compassion. Like, empathy is one thing. Okay, I get it. Compassion is then adding that love and like, I care about you. Like, that is a really isolating process you're in where you didn't get love from mom. So now you, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, having compassion for whatever that person is going through allows you a deeper level of empathy. It allows you to bring love in, which is the most healing energy on the planet.
Yes.
Again, that doesn't mean you allow continual harm. It just means you have a loving approach towards, I see you. I understand your core intent. I see your soul. I see your higher self. I'm going to allow your soul to go be free and be its higher self by not holding on to the time you didn't show up as your higher self. Doesn't mean you get to keep coming around and fucking around with me.
And I think that if you are able to adopt that mentality, you do become less triggered. And there is less to, like, quote unquote, forgive or let go of, because you're more understanding of the situation. I just need to apply my life mentality inward a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. There we go, guys.
Ding. I have this issue. I'm curious. Like, part of forgiveness is also maybe letting go of some expectations we have of other people. I can tell you one of mine is that I noticed this is my toxic trait. I hate being left out of stuff. I hate being left out of stuff.
I love being left out of stuff. You and I are like so different in so many ways, but so similar. Like, I could care less if you leave me out of
stuff. I take it so personally.
Bean, everybody, I know. It's a core wound. I love you.
Thanks, Bean. I think you're biased. I always want you at my party. I know. Well, you and I alone at the party.
Best party.
Until Bean asks you why you don't speak to your father. And then womp, womp. But
I'll just play the Humpback Whale soundtrack and everything like that. Back on track. Snippity snap.
Oh, you know what I forgot to tell you about that? Sorry, guys. We got to go back to this for a second. I just have to say what was so fascinating. I got distracted by, I don't even know what you were doing or saying. Is that what the researchers want to do is that they're going to use, they're going to take all of these clicky, click, 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 click. They're going to add it. They're going to layer AI on top of it to create language. They're going to go play it down under, not in Australia, but in the ocean.
On the bobby.
And then they're going to listen for if there's responses. Stop.
You're going to be talking to dogs any minute and you know it. And I can't wait. My dog is just going to be like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Hug me. I love you. That's all my dog is going to say. Feed me. Totally. I love you.
Anyway, I just had to add that. Isn't that, I mean, that was the main, I really buried the headline on that delight.
Yeah.
Anyway, so expectations. Like, I think I expect people to just always be considering me, which is so fucking stupid. Like, what? Why should everyone be thinking about you all the time? People got shit to do.
Yeah, it's
maybe it's your fault. It's your fault. It's my mom's fault. It's Anais's fault. All these people who like just poor luck. TJ, you guys have like spoiled me.
Yeah, you're the best. Everyone should want you around, and if they don't, you should be mad.
Okay, see, that's the problem. So like, some of forgiveness for me at least is like, let go of some expectations you have of people that are unrealistic and unfair and not compassionate and don't have empathy.
Right, right.
What are some benefits of forgiving besides clearing yourself?
I said it up top that holding on to anger and frustration and all of these things destroys you, destroys your body, destroys your soul. And there is a lot of evidence about how forgiveness impacts physical well-being. Would you like me to list some off? Okay, I will.
Oh my God. I love when I love when I'm the historian and you're the scientist.
It feels very out of character for me.
What? You're always the white lab coat. I need research and data.
Research, but I don't share the research. But yes, I did. And I already know this for a fact. And I do believe that it can cause tremendous harm inside your body, holding on to that. It's bad.
Totally.
Bad news, guys. The good news, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health. Get ready for this. Lowering the risk of a heart attack, improving cholesterol levels, and sleep, which I think sleep is critical to all.
Improving cholesterol levels? That's like magic.
Reducing pain, blood pressure, anxiety, depression, stress. Research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connection as you age.
Oh, so the older you get, the more important this is to your well-being.
Yes. Oh. And I think it helps you in the long term. If you forgive earlier on and you aren't holding on to all of that negative energy, negative emotion that's circulating through your body, all these people who are out for vengeance all the time, it's slowly like killing you.
Yeah, it's killing you. That's the benefit, man. Don't let your body have to become victim to holding on to resentment.
That of someone else's actions. Like, don't let your own body be so attacked because of the doing of somebody else, right?
Ugh.
Like, take control.
That is the ultimate reason.
Yeah, and taking control of your emotional state. If you take control of releasing that negative energy that's causing all this harm, that's on you, bruh.
It's on you, bruh.
But it's really hard. I totally get it. It's really hard, especially if it's something that consistently shows up in your life.
Yeah, totally. Wow, Bean, that was really good. I actually thank you for putting on the white lab coat for us in this moment. And it wouldn't be an episode unless we ended it with Melissa's famous takeaways. So, Bean, please, please take us away.
I just want to say that I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying this because it's my own podcast. Every single time I literally do have a takeaway that I did not have entering the pod. Like,
I know this is authentic, real stuff, y'all.
Every single time. And every time I think, like, how am I going to have some fresh hot take when, like, we have an outline? Like, how am I ever? But we always go so off the rails that I always am able to glean some new piece of knowledge. And the one I took away from this one is that forgiveness is so much about more about ourselves. It always sounds, the word even is associated with like forgiving others and those around you. But the true benefit is for you. Like, you could forgive someone who doesn't even know you've forgiven, and it doesn't impact them in any way, right? Like, you could forgive someone from your past who you don't speak to anymore, but it's for you. It's to release and to let go. And that has physical repercussions and emotional, it's like a cleansing.
Yes.
And like, why would, what is the benefit to keeping it all bottled up inside? There is no benefit.
None.
You are not protecting yourself. You are actually creating greater internal harm by holding on to it. But I think people probably use it as a means of feeling safe, like we talked about.
Right.
Like, if I have this knowledge and I'm really mad about it, it can't happen to me again. First of all, it can happen to you again.
Exactly.
Even with the knowledge. And it will happen to you again in different situations. So releasing and letting go, and then you can better able tackle that situation when it does arise again, because you're clearer on the inside. Namaste.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. As always, so well said. All right, well, Bean, do you forgive me for the penis bomb?
I do. I forgive you. Drop. And you know what? Thank you. I wasn't going to do it. I'm a nice person.
I know.
Person.
That's why I said it. I'm like, there's no way.
What if I was going to do it?
You weren't.
You just
there's
me
no
out.
Way you were going to do it, which is why I thought, why not share it with our audience so that if they want to do it, they can go to penisbomb.com. No, I'm just kidding.
If you don't forgive, there are penis poppers out there to help with your resentment, to cleanse the soul. Penis poppers for the soul.
On that note, guys, thank you for listening. As always, you can support the show by sharing this with your friends, family, neighbor,
coworker. Go on YouTube and see my weird tank top.
Someone who needs to forgive you, who you need to forgive. Go watch this on YouTube and see her tank top. And always leave us a review. And just tune in next time. We can't wait to talk to you again next week. Bye, Bean.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Before we go this week, we just have someone that we want to put some focus on, shine some light on.
Pop some
begrudgingly.
Poppers.
Our incredible, beautiful, magnificent, deeply intuitive, such a passionate, loving, incredible human of a producer, Anais, is leaving us for a new adventure.
Some, like an applause track here.
Anais has found an incredible opportunity, which is going to take her away from producing this podcast. And honestly, Bean and I weren't even going to talk about it because I don't think that we are good with it in our minds yet. We're very excited for Anais, but we are very, very, very sad for us. And I just want to say, and then Bean, I'll let you say too, but so much of Signal and the way that it has evolved has to do with Anais and her vision for it. And also her presence during our recordings and the hundreds of times she has to break in and be like, guys, you're making no sense. Let's get back on track here. Exactly. Also, the insanely insightful questions she asks to get us to really go even deeper and be even more helpful with the content. So I just want to take a minute to say, Anais, there is never, ever, ever going to be a replacement to fill your massive glittering shoes. We adore you. I love you so much. Anais is my baby sister cousin, so I still get to see her, as does Bean. But not having you as part of this is truly a loss for us, and we'll miss you a lot.
I second everything you said, and I'd also like to say as much – oh, Bean, don't cry, because then I'll cry. As much as Bean supports me and has fostered so much growth, I'd have to say in this setting, Anais has fostered the most growth in me with her supportive behind the scenes words, her redirection. She's like really, I feel like, taught me the game here. Like, I came in with zero knowledge, and I'm not saying I'm knocking it out of the park yet, but I have to credit her with almost every as where I am now. I have to give most of the credit to Anais. She's really been fundamental in literally every aspect of this podcast. She has her hand in every single one. And now we're going to go it at our own for a little bit and see how we do.
Whoop-de-doo. Let's see. Wish us luck. It's going to be the freaking wild west of circuses. But anyway, Anais, we love you. We wish you all the best. And thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you've done for Signal, for me and Bean, and for our listeners. Mwah. This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Gushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Fekadeth, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.